In Isaiah 55 and verse 6, we read, "Seek you the Lord while he may be found. Call you upon him while he is near." Do you seek the Lord? Do I seek the Lord? Don't think that is a casual question. We can, after the sermon is completely finished, and you hear what I have in my notes in the presentation today, you're going to find out I've covered about this much of a topic that is probably about this big. And it's probably a question, if we were honest with ourselves, we've really not given a whole lot of thought to it. Now, by the end of it, I hope you'll understand more. And then maybe if we can have other conversations about it, we'll even understand more. Each person has his or her own reasons for attending church, reading the Bible, talking about God, praying, fasting, meditating, all of those things under which most people would say, well, this is an aspect of seeking God. And so we all have our own reasons for doing these things. We believe God has called us. We believe God has called us. We also believe that we have answered his call, at least to some extent. The psalmist asks in Psalm 8, "What is man that God is mindful of him?" What is God that he would be mindful of me? Us. Why is God mindful of us? Well, let me ask you, do we realize that God thinks about mankind in general, and God also thinks about each man in particular? Now, man here means humankind. I'm not excluding the women. But do we think about that? Do we realize that that's what God does? I mean, I can show you this is throughout the scriptures. A great question that we can ask now ourselves is, what is God that we should be mindful of him? Too many people are deceived on this topic. Too many people are deceived on a whole lot of topics. But people are deceived on this topic of seeking God. They think too little of God. Many think God is too little. Many think God is uninvolved in their lives. And many think God is waiting to thwart their desires. It's real plain, it's real simple to take a look in the Bible, and we can see several different passages, several different scriptural witnesses to this fact that there are commands in the scriptures that we are to seek God. Let me just show you a couple of places on that particular statement. One is over here in Psalm 27. Psalm 27 and verse 8. Psalm 27 and verse 8. "When you say, seek you my face, my heart said unto you, your face, Lord, will I seek." He says, when you tell me to do this, here David is saying, I'm going to do that. I am going to seek your face. When you say to do this, in other words, would be a command. It is commanded. Isaiah 51 and verse 1. Isaiah 51 and verse 1. "Hearken to me, you that follow after righteousness. You that seek the Lord, look unto the rock whence you are hewn and to the hole of the pit where you are digged." What are we cut out of? What are we to become like? If we're being hewn out, we're being worked with, we're being shaped, we're being molded to look like, to be like Jesus Christ. Do you know that there are promises made to those who seek God diligently? Well, there are. And Proverbs 28 and verse 5. Proverbs 28 and verse 5. Very interesting verse. If you don't have this verse committed to memory, do. Do commit it to memory. "Evil men understand not judgment, but they that seek the Lord understand all things." God will be found of them And God will reward those who are seeking Him. There are promises that God is there and He will give us answers. So let's ask, why do some people say that they seek God? What does it mean to them? What does seeking God mean to them? Well, I'm going to give you several statements, several possible things that people say. Some believe that gathering information about the Bible is a synonym for seeking God. Just going in and getting information, facts, figures, knowledge, all of those things, just getting the information, that is synonymous with seeking God. Some believe that learning the prophecies is the same as seeking God. Some believe that knowing all the church doctrines is the same as seeking God. Now, I've got others, but I want to stop here and just ask, are these things true? What do you believe is seeking God? Some believe they have sought God and found Him because they are baptized into His church. Some believe that praying or fasting or meditating or any of these tools that we've talked about over the years, these are tools that we can use to draw closer to God. Some believe that doing these things is a synonym for seeking God. But with that in mind, I have another question. In fact, we're going to ask several questions and try and answer those questions. But why do people seek God? They say they do, but why do they? Why do people seek God? Well, some seek God because they enjoy God's presence. In other words, they want to be close to God. They want to have a relationship with Him. So they seek God. Some seek God because they know it is something God rewards for. He rewards those who seek Him. You can probably turn to a Bible verse that says that. Some seek God because they know it makes God happy. And it's true, it does. Some seek God to get themselves out of trouble. Now, this is not the only time that we should really be seeking God, obviously, but obviously it's also a good thing to do. Psalm 78 and verse 34. Psalm 78, verse 34. When He slew them, then they sought Him. Now, you can go back and read the whole story. That's not the point. What happened was God slew these people. And then as a result, these people returned and they wanted to seek God and they wanted to be closer to God. Then they sought Him, sought God. And they returned and inquired early about God. Well, I think I would too if there's this whole host of army that is against us, that's coming down upon us, and God wipes them out. I think, it would draw my attention and I would go, thank you for getting me out of trouble. Now I want to seek you first. I want to seek you. And that's what these people did. Some seek God because it is commended. Some seek God because they want something from God. Some seek God to feel good about themselves. So again, I ask the question, what is seeking God to you, and why do you seek God? Why do I seek God? What does it mean to seek God? Is seeking God a one-time thing? In other words, well, when I was real young, God called me and I was searching for Him, and He showed me to Him, and therefore now I've sought God and I found Him, and that's the end of it. Or is it a part-time pursuit? Is it something that we can do, say, just on the Sabbath and or the holy days? How does a person know when the seeking God has been successful? If you're seeking God, how do you know when it's happened? When you found Him? How do you know? Maybe they should go to the minister and ask, and he can tell them. I want us to seriously, and I mean this, I mean seriously, think on these questions about seeking God. This is not a ho-hum topic. Now at this time, I'd like for us to describe some things that have happened to people who have sought God. Let's look at some scriptures and see some things that God states happened to these people because they sought God. 2 Chronicles chapter 26 and verse 5. 2 Chronicles chapter 26 and verse 5. And he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. 2 Chronicles 31 and verse 21. 2 Chronicles 31 and verse 21. And in every work that he began in the service of the house of God, and in the law, and in the commandments, to seek his God, he did it with all of his heart and prospered. So we see, here's one example. This is not the only example. This is not the only thing that a reward is, or the end result for seeking God is. It's just for prospering. But it's obviously it's there. It's there. So is there an opposite to seeking God? Well, of course there is. Of course there is. 2 Chronicles chapter 15. 2 Chronicles 15. Beginning in verse 1. And the Spirit of God came upon Ahasuerus, the son of Oded, and he went out to meet Asa and said unto him, Hear you me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while you be with him. And if you seek him, he will be found of you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. Now that's the opposite. And I don't think that's a good thing. And I don't think any of us would think that's a good thing. That's a good place to be. We're forsaking God and God forsakes us. Verse 3. Now for a long season, Israel has been without the true God and without a teaching priest and without law. But when they in their trouble did turn unto the Lord God of Israel and sought him, he was found of them. God was found of them. Now, do you understand what this verse is actually telling us? Israel had gone into captivity and never to return as a nation. But the people of Israel, this is not Judah, this is talking of Israel. Even those people of Israel, if they sought God, even though God was not among them at this point, they didn't have the law with them, they didn't have the commandments, they didn't have a priest that was teaching them truth. But if a person sought after God, he could find him. Now that's incredible to think about this because, see, we focus so much on Israel going away because of all of their sins, never to be returned again as a nation. But a person could. But some may ask, but does God allow people to find him? If they seek for him, can they actually find him? Does God allow that? And the answer is yes. The answer is still yes. Let's go to the New Testament, Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. Beginning in verse 9, we're going to read 9 and 10. Luke 11 verse 9. And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asks receives, and he that seeks finds, and to him that knocks it shall be opened. Now in the context here, this is referring to the outpouring that God gives the Holy Spirit. I mean, that's what this is talking about. But it says very plain, if we seek, we will find. It will be open to us if we're knocking, we're asking, and we're seeking. And if we're seeking and knocking after God, it'll be open to us. So we can be found. That's the point. That's the point that I'm trying to make here. So let's move on and let's ask another question. So what does a person look like who is seeking God? What is the behavior of a person seeking God? If we're not really sure what seeking God is, then at least we ought to be able to go to the scriptures and find out what seeking God looks like, what the behavior is of a person who is seeking God, and at least we should be trying to match that behavior, right? Does that make sense? Psalm 24, beginning in verse 4. Psalm 24 and verse 4. He that has clean hands and a pure heart. Now, you'll have to go back because I'm not explaining what all of this, what all of these points are. See, I told you at the beginning, this is about this much of a sermon that is about this big. But he that has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek your face, O Jacob. Think about it, Selah. Think about, meditate on this. We are going to come back to this question a little later in the sermon. What does it look like? I'm actually going to spend the time at the end of the sermon going through multiple scriptures and just trying to nail as much of it down as we can in the period of time. Now, with that in mind, let me ask a couple of questions. Do the Laodiceans do anything with all of their heart? Sounds like a jump, but it's not. The Laodiceans, one of the characteristics is they were not seeking God. They had God. God was their God. But they were not seeking God. They didn't have need of anything. Do the Laodiceans seek anything with all of their hearts? And a second question here is, you know it's coming. Do we do anything with all of our heart? Maybe we can put our name there. Do I, your name there, do anything with all of our or your heart? Now, I hope the answer is yes. But is it? We need to ask ourselves. We need to ask ourselves some of these hard questions. We also need to judge ourselves, to look in the scriptures, see where we compare to exactly what God says to those who are seeking God. Do we look like those in the scriptures, what they look like? It's a yes or no. And we also need to simply test ourselves. Test ourselves to find out. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 31. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 31. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. So if we are judging ourselves, looking at ourselves, examining ourselves, testing ourselves, and come to the conclusion of, yes, we are, or no, we're not seeking God, but then we start doing it. And that's okay. Then we're not going to be judged because we're not seeking God. We've seen that we're not. If we're not, we see ourselves as not really, truly, really seeking God. And we're going to repent and we're going to change and we're going to start seeking God. I have a series of questions. And I'd like for us to think about these questions. Be honest with ourselves. Is God and the kingdom of God or the family of God first in my life? Matthew 6:33 tells us we are. Seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Seek you first is God and his incredible, you know, way of life. He wants us to be in his family. They altered their eternity future so we would be there. And then they offer this to, and then they're doing it to people in their own time, in their own order, as it pleases God. Because he knows that he can deal with these people under these conditions, under these circumstances. And so he calls. And he calls us. And what he desires is for us to seek him and seek him first. Number one. And the question is, do we? A second question I have is do we multitask God? Doing more than one thing at one time, or we're driving down a highway. It's not an accident about to happen in front of us and we cry out, "Father, help me." That's seeking God. That's multitasking. You're still driving, but you're praying and asking God to help you right then. No, you're just on the way to work and you slept 15 minutes longer, so you didn't get in your prayer that morning, so you pray as you go into work. That's multitasking God. Now, I didn't say it was sin. Do we multitask God? Is that seeking God first? It keeps going back to the first question. And I would have to say, if I asked for a show of hands, all of the hands would have to be up. Because I think that we all do that in some way or another. Do we multitask God? And if we do, should we be? How much time, this is the next question, how much time do we spend praying? Now, I'd have to give a whole sermon on praying so you didn't understand what I'm even talking about. But whatever your definition of praying is, put it there. But how much time do we spend in prayer to God? This could be privately. This could be publicly with others. Maybe with others or for others who are in need. It could be a lot of reasons that we'd be praying. But how much time do we spend in prayer with God? And don't panic. I'm not going to give a rule of thumb. You should be praying at least this amount of time every day. I'm not doing that. If I did one, you know what it would be? 24 hours. Now, I understand God has not required that. Because he's also required us to take care of our family, to feed our family, to go to work, to be good examples in the community. I mean, all of those things are there. We're to do all of those things. And so that's not what it is. And so I'm not about to put down a label and say, we should all be praying at least X minutes per day, on our knees before God. Is that really praying? No, how much time do we spend daily with God? It all goes back to, are we really seeking God? How much time are we spending in studying the Word of God to know more about this being? Here's something that I find very interesting. People come in contact to the church. They're attending. They even get baptized. And they look, and they really are doing a real good job and all of these kind of things. And come to find out that really aren't praying, really aren't studying, really aren't spending any real time with God. But if you ask them, are you in a good relationship with God, doing the things that you know that you need to be doing? Most people, what I have found is, yes. And maybe we need to question that. But see, you could be even spending time in prayer. You could be spending time in studying and still not being in a situation where you're seeking God. That's what I said. I'd have to give a sermon on prayer or on study if you'd even know exactly what I'm even asking here. But put whatever your definition is there on prayer and study, put it there, and you still will have a good answer to it. You'll know where you are, how much time. I remember one of the men back in California made a statement one time, and I remember when the statement was made. It was done at a ministerial conference before it was made. It wasn't made to the congregation. It was made to the ministry. And a lot of the men, and they laughed. And I thought, why are we laughing? I thought it was a good question. And the question was simply, how much time do you spend physically eating every day as compared to how much time do you spiritually eat a day? I mean Bible study and prayer. And people laughed. I thought it was a real good question. Maybe simplistic, but I thought it was a good question, and I think it's still a good question. How much time comparatively do we spend in physically or spiritually eating or studying, praying, with God? And when we do these things, What are the topics that are on our minds? What are we praying about? What are we studying about? Is it seeking God? How often do we gather with others in the presence of God? I mean, we're only going to be with one another for all eternity. But we can't stand to be with one another now. Is that seeking God or not? In our fellowship, which is with God the Father and Jesus Christ, how much time do we spend there? How much time do we spend searching for God's will? And then a sidebar question to that is, are we even sure that what we're searching for is God's will? Because sometimes what we're searching for could be our will. Are we searching for God's will? How much time do we spend just enjoying being in God's presence? Do you even think about being in God's presence? How much time do we spend just enjoying being in the presence of God? Or are we just simply information gatherers and therefore not really doers of the word? Next one's not really a question, but it's a thought. Compare your time with God, that you spend with God, versus your time in other pursuits. How can we say we love God if He goes near the bottom of our to-do list? Around your house, not asking for comments, but around your house, if you have to-do lists, what comes to the top of the to-do list? Whatever it is your wife wants you to do first, or whatever it is you want to do first, right? I mean, right? How far down on your to-do list is God? I have one other question here. Who is in control, or who is ruling over our lives? Is God in control, or are things, or other interests controlling our lives? Are we seeking God first? Maybe even back it up. Are we seeking God? Scratch out the word first. Go with me to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. In verse 46. Matthew 13 verse 46. Who, when he has found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. That principle talks about how much value we put on God. This pearl of great price, it's the kingdom. It's being in the family of God. The kingdom of God, the family of God, is the pearl of great price. It is the treasure, and it is hidden out there in a field. And if you know that there was this piece of land that had this valuable, valuable treasure on it, somewhere on this, you know, acre property, how much time would you seek that treasure off of that piece of property? Probably every waking moment, and maybe even get lights out there. We'd be seeking it. Now, I'm not saying that it would be a bad thing. I'm not saying that. My point being is, is God like the pearl of great price? What are we willing to give up? What are we willing to spend? What are we willing to do, to be in the presence of God, to seek and to find God? I think that we realize that we need to be seeking God. I think that's pretty obvious. But what would keep someone from seeking God? What would keep someone from seeking God? Well, probably several things. But I think a major key factor, if not the major key factor, is pride. Psalm 10 and verse 4. Psalm 10 and verse 4. The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. Am I implying that here we are, having been called, having God's Holy Spirit, the people of God, part of the body of Jesus Christ? If we're really not seeking God, is there something maybe called pride in the way? Maybe. Maybe. Now see, this would be hard for us to state. Now, I don't know anyone here is going to come up and say, can I volunteer? And they come up here and they say, the reason I'm not really seeking God is because I have pride. I don't think anybody's going to do that. I'm not asking anybody to do that. But I think that's the reason. I think that's the main factor. Hosea chapter 7 and verse 10. Hosea 7 and verse 10. And the pride of Israel testifies to his face, and they do not return to the Lord their God, nor seek him for all this. They don't even go after God. It's for pride. I don't have enough time. I don't have this. I've got all of these things to do. The Bible calls all of those excuses, all of those things, it labels it under, I believe, this one word called pride. And I think that includes on my list also. It's not just yours. I think any of us. I think that's what it is. But I do have a couple of other things that I also believe adds to not seeking God. Another one is self-deceit. Another one is misunderstanding. Maybe we just don't understand that what we're doing isn't really seeking God. Maybe we think it is. Well, why would we think doing something is seeking God if we look in the Bible and find that that's not seeking God? Why would that be? Real simple. We've misunderstood, not really looked into it, but the Bible makes it very plain what it is. And so if we're not doing it, hey, we have a misunderstanding, misconception. Something is there. It's why we don't have the knowledge and the understanding of what it is. Another thing is we're too busy. Some may be simply giving up on God. Well, he's not going to answer my prayers anyway. I'm never going to have this. I'm never going to do this thing. And I'm never going to do this other thing over here. Other people have that. Other people get to have this. But I don't get to have this. And I've been in a church for, you know, umpteen years. And so I don't get to have these things. And in essence, what they're saying is, I'm thinking about giving up on God, and that's a bad place to be. And another thing is doubting that seeking God will have the desired effect anyway. So these are reasons, I believe, and I don't have scriptures with all of these, didn't give you any. But I think I can show you every one of these right out of the scripture. Brother, we need to please understand that there are right ways to seek God. We are told to seek God. There are right ways to seek God. For the remainder of this sermon, I'd like for us to take a look at several scriptural witnesses telling us right ways to seek God. And what I want us to see, looking for, what are some of the behaviors of those who are seeking God? That's what we want to try and focus on. We've got several of them. I think I have like five or six in my notes. But if we have time, I'll go through some of the others. The others that I have are 26 different scriptures that I'm not even including in the sermon. And that's not all of them. Those are just the ones that I have. So you see, you make the point. You know, if God tells something twice in the Scripture, if he tells it once in the Scripture, it's important. If he tells it twice, we better listen. If he tells it 30 to 40 times, what do you think he's doing? He's shaking us by the shoulders and saying, get the point. Hear what I'm telling you. And he wants us to seek him. I mean, there's just scripture after scripture after scripture, and that is the point. So let's just look at some of them at this time. 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14. 2 Chronicles 7, 14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. I'm not going to make any comments on most of these passages. Psalm 119, verses 1 through 3. Psalm 119, beginning in verse 1. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. I'm going to make a list of these at the end of the sermon. We're going to come back to all of these points. The next one, Psalms 105 and verse 3. Psalm 105 and verse 3. Glory you in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Are you a person that rejoices? That's filled with joy. That's given to the person who is seeking God. Psalm 70 and verse 4. Psalm 70 and verse 4. Let all those that seek you rejoice and be glad in you. And let such as love your salvation say continually, let God be magnified. Is that something that's in your heart? You know, just seriously, is this something that's in your heart? Let God be magnified. I want God to be lifted up. I want God to be magnified in everything we do. Hebrews 11 and verse 6. Hebrews 11 and verse 6. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is. And that's a whole series of sermons in that one phrase. And that he, God, is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. With great effort. But the gist of it is talking about with great passion, with great outpouring of self, diligently seek him. Deuteronomy 4 and verse 29. Deuteronomy 4, 29. But if from there you shall seek the Lord your God, you shall find him. If you seek him with all your heart and with all your soul. This passage of Scripture is talking about the end of the days. It's talking about in that time of great tribulation. It's very, very clear. This is prophetic for the end time. There are going to be people at the end time who have turned from God, who have had the knowledge and the understanding of God, maybe even have had the Spirit of God. Just like he told ancient Israel, if a person in Israel, even though they had no law, they didn't have a teaching priest, they didn't have God, you know, in their camp in that sense, but if a person there really sought after God, God would hear him. God would answer him. And this is exactly what it says for the end time. It's no different from ancient Israel to the end of days in the great tribulation. You find yourself in a place that you don't want to be. It says, if from there you cry out to God, you seek God with all your heart and with all of your being, with everything about you, this is the diligently seeking him. It says, you shall find him. Let's rehearse some of the behaviors that believers will exhibit as we seek God. This is what a person is going to look like who's really seeking God. He's going to have all or at least most of these characteristics, and he's really tried to submit his stuff to God and live this way of life to have all of these characteristics. Okay. And he will be humble, will be praying, will be actively seeking God's face, and will turn from wicked ways. This is verse by verse. I mean, this is scripture by scripture is what I'm doing. The second one is, he will be undefiled in the way, walking in the law of the Lord, will keep God's testimonies, and will be seeking God with the whole heart, and will do no iniquity. The third one, there will be glory in God's holy name. There will be a rejoicing heart. Number four, there will be rejoicing and being glad. He will have love for God's salvation, and he will have a continual saying, "Let God be magnified." It's from the heart of the person that whatever he does, whatever he seeks to do, he's going to have this, you know, this driving force that God is magnified, God is lifted up, God is the one who gets the glory. The next one, which I have, is number five. We'll have faith. Must believe that God is, will be believing that God is, and will be believing and will have the behavior to exemplify it, that God is a rewarder of those who diligently, passionately seek after God. And then the last one is, will seek God with all your heart. Now, just going back over that list, again, not asking for comments, not asking for show of hands. Do we do this? Did we even know that the Bible actually listed out things for us to see what a person is going to look like who is truly seeking God? And then, like I said, I've got 26 other different passages as well that we could, you know, that I could actually go through. So what about us? Do you and I truly seek God? How do we know? How do we know? Brother, here's the thing. God desires, he greatly desires us to seek him because he has an expected end for us. And that expected end is for those who seek him. And what is that expected end? Being in his family. Jeremiah 29 and verse 11. Jeremiah 29 and verse 11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. God's saying, I know my thoughts that I have toward you. You know, he makes it plain. I know what my thoughts are toward you. They're thoughts of peace, not of evil. I mean, we are, in a comparative sense, compared to God, we're evil no matter what we do. It says, our righteousness is as filthy rags. And so it's really not much about us. But God has thoughts of peace with us. And he does not think about evil when it comes to us. To give you an expected end. And that expected end is God wants us to be in his family. And I think this is very clear, even just at the little introduction to a sermon that is probably several inches in a comparative sense, like this one is about a half inch high, what we've covered today in a sermon, in a topic that is about a foot thick. God wants us, God desires us to be seeking him because it is those who are seeking him with all of our hearts that will be in the family of God. So I go back. This is not some little rinky-dink, you know, type, you know, fill in some time in a sermon. This is a major, major topic. Now I'm going to be real clear with you. I've never given a sermon on this topic before. And I've been in the church, attending in the church for 45 years. I've never heard one on it. But I think that I can clearly show you out of Scripture, it's those that are seeking God that are going to be in the family of God. I think we can conclude this is an important topic. So what I would ask and what I would want, of course, is for every one of us to seek you, the Lord, while he may be found. While he may be found. Because there is a time when people are not going to be able to find him. And we have it right in front of us. Let's not count this as worthless or nothing, but let's really seek God with all of our heart. Let's study. Maybe we need to study together more to fill in the rest of the gaps that are here to this incredible topic. So let's seek God. And the Aaronic blessing. Speaking to Aaron and to his sons, saying, on this wise you shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them.